All right. Take a moment right now to just notice how you feel. Take a moment. How do you feel? Because in a few hours, you're going to eat a lot of food, and my guess is some of you are not going to feel very good, right? Today is a test. Thanksgiving is a test when it comes to food, because there's a sense in which today is a day where we get food that we don't normally eat throughout the year. I don't know why we don't eat stuffing or green bean casserole or some of those other things more often. Maybe some of you do. But for some reason, today is the day where we get like particular foods in front of us to enjoy. And because of that, we tend to eat, right? I heard on the radio this week that on average, on Thanksgiving, people will consume around 4,500 calories. Yeah, so like the average day for an average person is like 2,000 to 2,500 calories. And so for some people today, you're going to eat like 2 days worth of food. And so when you don't feel good later on, that is why. Your body is like, whoa, right? It's a test. It's a test. Can I refrain from gorging myself today? Right? Today is also a test because I know that some of y'all are going to be hanging out with your families today. And sometimes when we're gathered with family on Thanksgiving, we can end up in conversations that are uncomfortable or irritating, or somebody will just say something downright like ridiculous, and we got to bite our tongue, right? You ever deal with that? Maybe it's not even just Thanksgiving. Maybe it's like every day. But on Thanksgiving, we're gathered typically with a few extra people, and it's easy to get in a space of irritation. It's a little bit of a test. Today's also a test because, like, right now, we're in the service of Thanksgiving. We're giving praise to God. We're celebrating His goodness, and we're going to have this good meal. We'll maybe spend some time as families, friends, however that looks today, maybe even telling each other what we're thankful for, and then without like even a pause, our heart will be wrapped up in Good Friday ads, right? Like we go immediately from Thanksgiving to what can I get at the best deal possible, right? You know what I'm saying? Some of you you've already got tonight and tomorrow morning plotted out. Yeah, I'm looking at my family. Some of you already got it plotted out, right? Like you're thinking about the deal. I saw on Facebook this week, Facebook occasionally has wisdom, and somebody said this, the best Good Friday deal is to stay home and spend nothing. Yeah, oh, sorry, what did I say? Oh my goodness. Zach, I hope you're not recording today. This would be the one day to not be recording. Ken, thank you for having my back, man. I appreciate that. The best Black Friday deal is to stay home and spend nothing, right? Because then you save like everything, right? But it's a test. It's a test. Now, these are just kind of tests in general, and maybe they're not even significant. But the reality is that life is full of moments that test us. It's full of moments that test us. And it could be any number of things, from health to a relationship to who knows what, right? But life is full of tests. Back in the day when Tim Mandarin worked here as the pastor, I would go into his office from time to time and be like, man, I'm going through some stuff. And he would, without it, he had like lacked empathy for me. And he would just say, Shulk, it's a test. You're going to be fine. He actually had a lot of empathy for me. But he often said, it's a test, Shulk. Maybe he said some of that to you too. Now you might be thinking, like, what in the world? Why are you talking about testing? What is it? What are we doing here? This is Thanksgiving. We should be talking about Thanksgiving. But as we look at our passage this morning, which is Philippians 4, and I actually invite you to turn to it, as we look at our text this morning in Philippians 4, we're actually going to see that struggles and testing and trials and challenges actually have a lot to do with Thanksgiving. And so we're going to look at Philippians 4. We're also going to look at a couple other texts that I'll have on the screen this morning. And my hope is that you'll see that these things actually, this testing and idea of Thanksgiving actually have some things in common. But it's going to take us unpacking it a little bit together. And so let's read our passage now. Philippians 4, starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi that is actually going through some stuff. The challenge with grabbing a text like this out of an entire letter and not having time to go through the whole letter is that we don't get to see all the moving pieces taking place in the city of Philippi. But in Philippi, they were struggling. They were dealing with some external persecution from the people around them related to their faith in the city. So they had this external pressure on them as they were trying to follow Christ and live for them. But they were also in Philippi dealing with some internal conflict. They were dealing with some internal conflict. And so actually, in the verses right before what I just read, Paul says this. He says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. There's these two prominent women in the church in Philippi who, for whatever reason, are having a major disagreement, and they're in some conflict with one another. And Paul is writing in this last bit of Philippians to encourage them to get along, to work things out for the sake of Jesus Christ. See, the Philippian church is being tested. It has this external pressure. It has this internal conflict, and there's some things going on. The church is struggling, and so it's really interesting that in the midst of this, right after talking about this conflict, that Paul goes on to say to the Philippian church, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. In the midst of this conflict, in the midst of this struggle, he says, rejoice. Now my guess is, like, when things are going really well in our lives, when there is blessing upon blessing, when we see the hand of God, it is easy for us to rejoice and to give thanks, right? Like, it's easy to step back for a moment in our lives and say, thank you, God, this is amazing. I can't believe what you're doing. You are so incredible. It's easy when life is good to rejoice. When life is just kind of normal and ho-hum and nothing special is happening, I think sometimes it gets a little harder for us to rejoice because we don't see the big things that God is doing. We don't see the little things that God is doing. We're just kind of sucked into our routine. We're existing. And maybe we don't spend as much time just outright praising God for what he's doing. Right now, when life is bad or testy or things are hard, my guess is that most of us don't just suddenly break loose with a giant praise to God, right? I know you're tired of hearing this, but I'm sorry. In early August when I hurt my foot, I did not in that moment stop what I was doing and say, thank you, God, for hurting my foot or for letting my foot be hurt. I'm so glad that I get to have this pain and I'm so excited about what you're going to do in my life. I didn't do it. And my guess is that when many of you go through hardship, your first response isn't to rejoice. Now, I'm not saying here this morning that we should enjoy hardship. I'm not saying that, like, we should go looking for it necessarily even. I'm not saying any of that. But what I want us to understand here this morning is that Paul is getting at something that we really need to wrestle with, and that is this idea that even in the midst of horribly hard and difficult things, we have the opportunity to rejoice to the Lord because he is doing something even when life is difficult. Now, you might be thinking, well, maybe this isn't what Paul actually means. Maybe you're reading this wrong, and maybe I am. But if you look at some other places in the New Testament, you start to unpack this idea a little bit. And in fact, in Romans 5, which was also written by Paul, he talks about, initially in Romans 5, about this idea of rejoicing in the faith we've received through Jesus. He He talks about rejoicing in the faith we've received through Jesus. That's good. We want to rejoice in that. But then right after that, he says this, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. This is kind of almost, it just doesn't really even make sense, right? Because again, we don't think about life this way very often, but there's this idea that we're called to rejoice in the midst of our hardship because we know that God is doing something through whatever it is we're going through. Maybe Romans 5 wasn't what you had in mind. Maybe you were thinking this. This is another common passage from James. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is kind of wild to think about, right? Because again, we often think about what we're thankful for that has been good. We rejoice over the blessings that God has poured out on us. But there is also, again, this call to us as believers to think about rejoicing over the things that have been hard or difficult, because it is in those things that where Satan maybe meant it for evil, God is using it for good to sharpen us, to refine us, to make us more like Christ. Scripture actually uses this metaphor of refining over and over again. You see this especially in the New Testament. There's passages about being in the refiner's fire. And in refining refining something like a precious metal, there's often this intense heat that is used to burn off the impurities so that the metal becomes more pure. And again, this is kind of what's happening, right? In the midst of our suffering, in the midst of hardship that we experience in life, there is a refining that is going on as God is working to make us more like Jesus. And so when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, we really can rejoice when God is shaping us into the likeness of Jesus, even if that shaping process isn't the most enjoyable thing we ever went through. A while back, I was going through some kind of an intense season of life, and I was struggling in a number of ways. And I was thinking about, in the midst of all of that, my first inclination was to really just kind of focus on sin and even like Satan and his work in the midst of trying to upend things and do damaging work. And my focus was mostly on praying against the forces of sin and the situation that I was in. But then I was reading again. I had this pastor that I met a couple years ago, and he occasionally writes articles. And I was reading an article that he wrote. And in the midst of the article that he wrote, which was perfectly timed for me, he again in that article talked about this refining, this work that God is doing in the midst of it, and part of what he said was really again that what Satan wants to use for evil, God will use for good. And for the first time, I found myself daring to rejoice at what God might be doing in me. It wasn't so much what God was doing in that situation. It wasn't so much about what was happening in the broader context of the world, but it was about what God was actually doing in me through that season of trying. Now, again, this all might sound a little bit ridiculous this morning, but we really are called to rejoice, and we can even be thankful when we encounter hardship, because of the knowledge that God can and will grow us through it. Now again, that might not be our first inclination when something is happening, and I don't even know that it needs to be our first inclination, but my hope for all of us is that in the midst of whatever it is we're going through, that there will be a point when we can hit pause on the situation and go, wow, God is at work here in the situation. God is at work here in me. He's teaching me about who I am. He's teaching me about who He is. And I'm growing in my faith. Paul goes on in Philippians 4 to say this, and I think this is really crucial for us to really get our minds around, but he says, the Lord is near. He says, the Lord is near. And this is also just a good reminder for us, and part of the reason we can rejoice, I'm going to unpack this a little bit more in a second, but part of the reason we can rejoice is because we are not alone in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. The Lord is near. He is present with us. And we can, in fact, rejoice. And then, again, pressing into conflict, pressing into anxiety a little bit more, Paul says, and this is kind of, a famous passage if you've been around the church. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now listen, when we're struggling with, again, our health, or relationships, or a work situation, or something going on at school, it is easy and even natural for us to be anxious. We can't see a way through. It doesn't seem like there's a way out. We fear the absolute worst. We don't like the fog that we are stuck in at all. I don't like it either. But it's in those moments that life feels the foggiest and the most difficult that Paul says to us, don't be anxious, but instead pray with thanksgiving. And so you might be thinking right now, how in the world am I supposed to pray with thanksgiving in the midst of life's most anxious moments? And I think there's three ways that we can actually pray with thanksgiving in the midst of life's most anxious moments. And this all, again, leads us to this idea of rejoicing. And here's what it is. The first way we pray with thanksgiving is with a mind set on what God has already done through Jesus. In the midst of life's craziest moments, in the midst of the most difficult hardship, we can look back on what God has already done through Jesus, through the gospel. We know, again, that when no matter what life is throwing at us, that we are secure in who we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I can be thankful in the midst of whatever it is we're going through because we know that Jesus loves us, Jesus has died for us, Jesus has saved us, He has taken away sin, He has given us incredible freedom, and we are set free. There's also, in the midst of this idea, tucked away that God has already taken care of us even multiple times. And in the midst of taking care of us through multiple times and in multiple situations, we can be reminded that He will do it again. God is not a God who acts once and then leaves us alone. He is a God who continually acts on our behalf through the work of Christ Jesus, who, as we've already seen in Scripture in the last year, is right now at the throne of God the Father, petitioning on our behalf, praying on our behalf, taking our request to God the Father and lifting us up and advocating for us. Jesus loves us. He has protected you and He will continue to protect you. He has loved you. He continues to love you. He has redeemed you. He continues to redeem you. And so in the midst of everything going on in our lives, we can praise God with thanksgiving because we know that He has done a great thing. We can also pray with thanksgiving, and this gets back to what we've been talking about, with a mindset on what God is doing right now through the Holy Spirit. God is at work in you right now through the Holy Spirit. There is actually never a moment of your life when you're a believer in Jesus that God is not at work in you through the Holy Spirit. There might be times when you don't sense His presence. There might be times when you feel like God is distant. There might be times when you're like, yeah, really? Are you doing something in me right now? But the Holy Spirit is. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He never turns his back on you. And the Holy Spirit, through good times and bad, is working in us to help us become more Christ-like. And we can give thanks. Because of the Spirit, we are never alone in our circumstances, and that alone, again, should cause us to give praise. Finally, I think the third way we can pray with thanksgiving is this: with a mind set on what God will accomplish at the end of all things. Hope. We can pray with thanksgiving because of hope. You see, no matter what we're going through, good times or bad, as a number of people have said throughout life, nothing is fatal. Nothing is fatal. We go through things that are horrible and uncomfortable, things we don't want to be dealing with on a daily basis, but nothing is fatal, because at the end of the day, when we are set on Christ, when we understand what he's done, when we know that he's at work now, we are also reminded that he is continuing to work and he will come again. He will redeem all things and make us new. He will make the world new. And all of that pain, all of that suffering, all of that hardship will be gone. It will all be gone. No matter what we're going through, we already actually have victory over this life and death in Jesus. And here's the thing, when we can keep this in mind, when we can pray with thanksgiving, again, reflecting on what Jesus has done, reflecting on what the Spirit is doing, and reflecting on what God will do in the time to come, we really can rejoice in all situations. Rejoicing and thanksgiving, they go hand in hand. And again, I really do believe that they show up even in the midst of suffering. I was amazed this week as I was working on this sermon. I saw probably another handful of pastors on social media who were clearly wrestling with the same idea, talking about thanksgiving and suffering and how they work together to point us to Christ, how they work together to give us hope in the midst of hard things. And see, the thing is, the more we pray with thanksgiving, the more we are able to rejoice in all things, the more we actually are able to have what Paul finishes with, and that is this: the peace of God which transcends all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in him. See, if we're able to see what Jesus has done, if we're able to see what Jesus is doing, then we actually can be in a space where we can have peace in our hearts, because we know this: we're not in control. We never were. We never will be. But Jesus is, and he is working out all things to set us into the presence of God the Father. So this morning, people of Forth, I want us to be thankful today that, again, that Jesus has saved us. We should rejoice that Jesus has saved us. We should rejoice that he is with us. We should rejoice that he will never forsake us. We should rejoice that his kingdom is coming and we will get to be a part of it. And we should rejoice in the good, and we should rejoice even in the hardship, because we know he's forming us into the image of his Son. And so here's my challenge for us today as we actually step into a time of open microphone. As we step into a time of open mic, we do this every Thanksgiving, an opportunity to share. I want to encourage you to share God's blessing in your life this last year. What has God done to show up and pour himself out? But I also want to just challenge you to take a moment this morning and think about how has God shown up even in the midst of something difficult and trying? How has he shaped you? How has he formed you? Where have you seen God blessing in that? So I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray over this time that we're going to get to share together. And then, as you also see on here this morning, we're going to try something a little different, and that is this. I know sometimes it's hard to speak in public, even if no one's looking at you, and because we want as many people to participate as possible, my phone number is up there, and you can text a praise to my phone, and either Julie or I will read that off. And so, if you'd like to share something, either anonymously or by name, You can text it to my phone, and that's another way to get your praise into the room without the pressure of having to say it. Let me pray for this time a second. Father God, we thank you again for being a God who loves us. We thank you for being a God who has worked in our life through Jesus. We thank you for being a God who is working through our life right now in the Spirit. And we thank you for being a God who is going to come and renew and redeem all things at some point in the future. God, we thank you for being a God who is working in our lives in the good, but also in the bad. And Father, I pray that you would help us this morning to see the places you have been working in our hearts, places you've been working in our minds, places you have been making us more like Christ in the midst of all things. Father, thank you for being such an incredible God who never leaves us on our own, but is always with us. Father, we just pray for your blessing over this time of sharing, and we thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to share in the rich goodness of what you have done. Father, we give this time to you now. May it be a sweet aroma to you. Amen.